Ludwig was taken out of Bonn's Tirocinium, or junior school, prematurely at the age of 10. It must be noted that it was quite normal for boys to be taken out of school around the age of 11, especially if they came from needy families. Being apprenticed to some trade at that age was normal, as their meager earnings would help maintain the family. Ludwig was brilliant at music, so apprenticeship in the field was appropriate for him. However, this left him throughout his life lacking basic skills, such as in mathematics. As we saw last week, from a very early age, his father had been nurturing him in the skills of music, and this brings to mind the child Mozart, who only a few years earlier had been driven by his father. But while the child Mozart was introduced early to rich homes and palaces and made to wear the chic apparel of the Baroque age, young Beethoven bore clear signs of undernourishment, neglect, and at times also welts and bruising from his father's beatings. Music lessons had begun long before the child left school. His first teacher, as we have seen, was his father Johann. But soon Johann chose teachers for his son, the first being Gilles van den Eeden, who had been a friend of Kapellmeister Ludwig van Beethoven, and like him, was Flemish. The teacher was over 70 years old, so we can well imagine the impatience of the young pupil and the inadequacy of so vast a difference in age between one and the other. This arrangement did not last long, and Eeden was soon replaced by Thomas Pfeiffer, pianist, oboist, flautist, and actor. An eccentric who took lodgings with the Beethovens in 1779. The Beethoven family had neighbors, the Fischers, and it is by members of this family that some anecdotes of young Beethoven's early life have been recounted. We learn from them that the young Beethoven at the piano would accompany Pfeiffer playing his flute, and the music was so beautiful that people stopped outside their windows to listen. Pfeiffer was erratic as well as eccentric, a good drinking companion for Ludwig's father. At times, the two men would wake up the child in the middle of the night, drag him to the piano, and force him to play. It was a relief to the young Ludwig when, only 3 months after having arrived in Bonn, Pfeiffer left with the theater company. Not quite clear whether it was by Johann van Beethoven's decision or whether it was a decision of the Elector of Bonn himself that a new teacher was chosen for the lad. This was none other than Christian Gottlieb Neff, who was appointed court organist in Bonn in 1781. Neff stimulated his pupil not only in perfecting his piano technique, but he also encouraged his ability in composition. At 11, Ludwig was already accomplished enough to act as Neff's deputy court organist. The teacher had such admiration for his young pupil that in an article he wrote for the magazine Der Musik, he praised his skill at the clavier and his ability in composition. "This young genius," he wrote, "deserves support so that he can travel. He will surely become a second Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart if he were to continue as he has begun." This was nothing but a plea for the Elector or for any other moneyed aristocrat to take young Ludwig under his wing and enable him to study in Vienna under Mozart. Until this day, we owe Neff immense gratitude, for had he not praised Ludwig in those terms, it is quite likely that the young musician's skill would have remained undeveloped and his genial art remained unknown to the world. Infinitely valuable also was the very incisive influence that the intellectual Neff had on the mental formation of his pupil. The Enlightenment was sweeping Europe, and Neff was a radical intellectual, a leading light in Bonn's reading society. He believed that sensuality had to be expressed in every form of art. Doubtless his pupil was fascinated by his teacher's forward thinking. The hours spent studying and absorbing instruction from his teacher were a relief away from the chaotic family atmosphere at the Van Beethoven home. There is proof of this closeness between teacher and pupil in the fact that a decade later, Ludwig would write to Niefer from Vienna saying, "I thank you for the advice you have often given me about making progress in my divine art. Should I ever become a great man, you too will have a part in my success." Niefer's influence was to lay the foundation for the young man to achieve eternal fame. But, as often happens, fate or fortune played their part too. Before he turned 13, Beethoven had been nominated continuo player in the Elector Maximilian Friedrich Orchestra. He had already published 3 sonatas, and probably under the judicious suggestion of his teacher, he dedicated them to the Elector, his employer. The 3 piano quartets bore Beethoven's personal stamp, although they were clearly modeled on Mozart's violin sonatas. All 3 of these quartets show pointers to later better-known works of the master. The Eroica comes to mind, as does Prometheus.
Beethoven was not only a prolific composer, but for much of his life, especially his early life, he was a celebrated piano virtuoso. Rather like Liszt, several decades later, Beethoven's pianism enthralled and perplexed in equal measure. Contemporary reports describe his piano playing as strikingly expressive, bold and technically brilliant. If that were not enough, while Beethoven was capable of playing exquisite lyricism on the piano, the violent side of his character was often vented on the instrument in string-breaking, key-cracking fashion. He is believed to have gradually destroyed no fewer than 7 pianos during his lifetime. After attending a Beethoven performance in Prague in 1798, the eminent pianist and composer Václav Tomasek was so overcome that he was unable to touch a piano for several days. Nevertheless, some 20 years later, Tomasek was still lauding Beethoven as the greatest pianist he had ever heard.
The The job was the best opportunity for Beethoven to get practical training in ensemble playing, orchestration, and direction. It gave him the opportunity to become acquainted with the different instruments of the orchestra, and it also came with a salary of 150 gulden, which were more than welcome in the Beethoven household, where Johann was increasingly becoming a burden. Besides, as the job was not particularly onerous, it left the young musician plenty of time for keyboard practice. On the death of Maximilian Friedrich, the new elector was Archduke Maximilian Francis, Archbishop and Elector Spiritual of Cologne. This was none other than Maria Theresia's youngest son, brother of the ill-fated Marie Antoinette. A man of the Enlightenment, encouraging science and the laying of botanical gardens, Archduke Maximilian had the ambition of turning Bonn into a seat of the arts and learning. He opened libraries and inaugurated the new university. Thank you. brief period of artistic and social regeneration took hold of Bonn, and young Beethoven was the Elector's favorite, who saw him as Mozart's successor and as an ornament to his court. This is the Bonn that Beethoven was to retain in his mind, his locus of remembrance which enriched his spirit together with the teachings he had absorbed from his teacher Neefe, the egalitarian, the Freemason, whose ideals of the brotherhood of men were to influence the young musician, just as Schiller's Ode to Joy, which was circulated in 1786. Meantime, Beethoven worked, studied, and gave lessons to the aristocratic children in Bonn. In the late spring of 1787, Archduke Maximilian sent for him and announced that he was sending him to Vienna, all expenses paid. Week we shall find Beethoven making his first steps in the capital of the Austrian Empire. Until then, we can together enjoy the last notes of Beethoven's Eroica.